Good morning and welcome to worship at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. It's good to see you on this Sunday morning, the eve of All Saints Day. And I hope you have your packages of All Saints celebrations ready to acknowledge those who have gone on before us. Now, some of you are looking puzzled. I'm just trying to present a counter to the other activity that'll be happening this evening. And not to counter it, but just to acknowledge some of the history and the seemingly tide of emphasis that gets given to Halloween, in my opinion, again, as a historian, totally overshadowing the purpose of acknowledging on All Saints Day Christians who have gone on before us. I'll make reference to some of that a little bit later, but this morning I want to greet you with the verse in your bulletins from the letter to the Christians at Colossae. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Invite us as we worship God, who is Lord of both the living and of the dead. Our guests this morning are Tim Albrecht and Stephen Roy, and welcome to both of you this morning. Many of you know Tim as the general manager of the Christian Benefit Shop here in St. Catharines and Ministry of Mennonite Central Committee. Stephen Roy is MCC's, Ontario's, new Church and Community Relations Associate. That's a big handle for connecting with people and the ministry of Mennonite Central Committee. Stephen has previously served as president and dean of Emmanuel Bible College in Kitchener and served with the Be in Christ Church of Canada in various, particularly in academic roles. And so welcome to both of you. And Tim has brought a guest, and I'll let you introduce Lauren later. Tim will be sharing about the Benefit Shop ministry, and Stephen will be sharing the message, Being a Good Neighbor, based on Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. A few announcements just to highlight. Church Council invites your participation next Sunday with a short membership meeting after the worship service to address the 2021 budget. As you recall, we were not able to host a membership meeting January, February, when we usually have our annual meeting. And so there is that important thing of addressing the year's budget, even though we're almost to the end of the year. There will also be reference to church staff transition, which involves the workload of Taya Himes, our youth worker, and as well Paul Adams providing part-time help, mainly in the role of preaching, and there's a few more details in your bulletin. Also next Sunday, don't be early. If you will, you may want to just hang around for a while or go for coffee and come back. Next week, we go back to standard time, which is fall season, meaning fall back. Springtime, we spring forward. So if we fall back, you might be early for the service if you forget to change your clock, Taya. Yeah, just saying. Also in the announcements, on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, November 3rd, 2:30 in the afternoon, Mennonite Church Canada witness workers, George and Toby Avith, will be sharing stories of God's faithfulness, having served in China, where they have supported emerging Anabaptist congregations for quite a few years, and look forward to their sharing about that ministry. Included with the bulletin this week, either the printed or the email version, or for those who receive the snail mail later on, there is a listing of shut-ins who are typically unable to attend worship services on a regular basis. Here in that, a little bit of a subjective listing. But you're invited to remember these folks in prayer and in other ways, perhaps support and care for ministry of those unable to attend regularly. These and many other items in the bulletin, please take note of those and respond accordingly. For a call to worship, I will be reading from Psalm 82. I have to admit, when I first read Psalm 82, I was tempted to look elsewhere for a call to worship. Yet the more I considered this poetic expression of faith, the more I was convinced of its reading for today. The Hebrews lived in a world that accepted many, gods, lowercase g. And Psalm 82 asserts that there are gods, lowercase g, who are out to exalt themselves. Psalm 82 tells us that those other gods have favored the wicked. They have failed the poor, the orphan, the afflicted, and the destitute. Psalm 82 speaks of the problem of why those in power continually deprive the weak and the defenseless of justice. Sounds like a ministry for Mennonite Central Committee, in my opinion, so that was the connection for me. When the powerless are cheated, abused, or suffer, the foundations of our society are dangerously shaken. Psalm 82 is a reminder for the people of faith in Jesus for the need to be grounded in earthly needs of other people as an act of God's compassion and love. Psalm 82 is also a reminder of Jesus' prayer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." With that introduction, Psalm 82. God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the other gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. The gods know nothing and they understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, "You are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance." I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, you who judge the earth, we have come to worship because you have rescued us from the powers of darkness. While our sins cause all manner of brokenness and pain, through Jesus Christ, you redeem us. You reclaim us as your children, as those who belong to your kingdom. Help us to accept your healing through Jesus Christ again. We come to worship to learn further of your compassion for all people, to share with others who have not yet experienced your deliverance with love. Meet with us now through Jesus Christ our Lord. This we pray in his name. Amen. Invite Tay and the worship band to lead us in the song, "Build My Life."
Good morning. I invite you all to stand with us. With our masks on, but to stand with us and sing our first song, "Build My Life."
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Praise we could ever bring. other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
November seems to be a month of remembering those who have gone before us. And so this past week we shared with the family of Kay Workington, who died this past Monday, and the service was here on Friday. We want to remember her, but also as we head into November, knowing there are a couple of major events on the calendar that invite us once again to remember those who have gone before us. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, while the world celebrates things spooky and fearful, remind us again of our calling to Jesus, who brings us into the light, who leads us in truth. Tune our hearts by your Spirit, the breath of life, and fill us with the compassion of grace and forgiveness as we have received, that we may be healed and that we may be empowered to share in the lives of others. For this is the calling you have given to us in the name of Christ. And so we pray for healing of our land, for healing of those things that divide us, and we lift before you in name those who are in need of healing who come to mind. For our community leaders, for our church leaders, and others who share in our lives with us, we pray for wisdom and guidance. We pray for your spirit of discernment among us. For all these things in our witness of faith, we hold before you the name of Christ who leads and guides us. These things we pray in his name. Amen. The worship band will lead us in another song, and following that, Tim Albrecht will come and do some sharing about the benefit shop.
To our content. Good morning. My name is Tim Albrecht. I am honored to be here this morning to share some of my passion for our work at MCC and at the Christian Benefit Thrift Shop specifically. I want to express my sincere thankfulness for your ongoing support as a congregation for the work of the Benefit Shop through your donations, your volunteers, your energy that you give, and through the shopping that you do as well. Many of you will know and are very familiar with the work of the Christian Benefit Thrift Shop as a part of the Mennonite Central Committee. The Christian Benefit Thrift Shop exists, it's on 254 Grantham Avenue in St. Catharines, for those of you who need the address, and it exists for raising funds, for the purpose of raising funds for the Mennonite Central Committee. Almost 50 years ago now, a group of four ladies met for tea. You never know what can come out of a tea party. Four ladies met for tea, and they said, we need something that will be a machine that would turn clothing into cash that we would give to the money to MCC. They hoped to raise a little bit of money and empty people's closets. Little did they know that 48 years later, 50 years later actually, people's closets still are not empty. We are still turning clothing into cash. So the machine that is turning clothing into cash has become MCC Thrift. And MCC Thrift exists across North America. There are about 50 shops throughout Canada and 7 shops within Ontario. We are one of those shops. There are 4 in the Kitchener-Waterloo region, 1 in Leamington, 1 in Stouffville, and ours in St. Catharines. Here at the Christian Benefit Thrift Shop, we opened 48 years ago, and the work of 6 staff and a diverse group of 150 volunteers has won the honors of the St. Catharines Standard Reader's Choice Award for 3 years in a row. That's a pretty good honor, and we are, as volunteers and staff, we get excited about knowing that we've been able to make a difference in our community like that. In a pre-COVID typical year, our thrift shop transferred about $500,000 to the work of the Mennonite Central Committee for its work of relief, development, and peace. I always emphasize those 3 words, relief, development, and peace, to all of our new orientees of volunteers, and encourage them with that they are part of something much bigger. We participate in that work, and we fundraise for that work around the world. When I mention to new volunteers that in our orientation times, I usually get an astonished look. Really? $500,000? Sometimes I get that astonished look from current volunteers who have been there a long time as well. Really? Is it really $500,000? Yes. We, in our shop here, and to raise $500,000 and send that, transfer that to MCC on a yearly basis. And then with all of the other shops in Ontario, over $2 million goes to the work of MCC on an annual basis. Now, if that doesn't get your heart going, maybe this will. I'm going to ask that you stand in response to the questions that I ask here. A couple of questions. I'm interested to see who are all of our current volunteers who are here this morning. Would you stand, please? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sticking with us through COVID restrictions and masks and all of the changes that we've implemented along the way. You may be interested to know that our oldest volunteer is 91 years old. Our youngest volunteer is 15. So we have a great range, and I have a number of volunteers they're from high school, who have worked on their 40 hours of community service. And then we have some volunteers, students, who come and do their co-op times with us, and that's up to 220 hours that they spend with us through a semester. And then, of course, all the way up through retirees and to those who want to stay active into their 90s are more than welcome to be with us this morning, or with us throughout the week as we work. I know there are also many former volunteers here this morning. Would you please stand? Any former volunteers, if you've worked at the Benefit Shop any time throughout the years. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for the legacy that you have left. I know that one of our former volunteers, Margie, is here this morning. Hi, Margie. And she was able to work with us up until 92, and we're so grateful for the work, and you and your sister, Betty Penner, from this congregation as well, over the years have made a significant impact in the work of the Benefit Shop and MCC. The third group I'm going to ask to stand, our current volunteers have a little bit of heads up about this, but anyone can join in on this one. If you're wearing something that you purchased at the Benefit Shop, please stand. All right. Show it off a little bit if you need to. That's great. Very good. It's great to see that we are still dressing people well in the city of St. Catharines. Thank you for that. I know that many more of you would stand as donors and shoppers. In fact, I had some conversations this morning. Thank you. Together, we make the difference. Though our primary focus is to support the work of MCC, we are also able to send dollars to support agencies within Niagara. Four agencies that we support are Jillian's Place, Westview Center for Women, Southridge Shelter, and Start Me Up Niagara. All of these organizations, agencies, receive either an annual check or gift cards with which they give to their clients, and their clients can then come and shop with dignity in our shop. We're in the neighborhood. It's about making being good neighbors this morning. Stephen's going to share a little bit about that. We're in the neighborhood making a difference here in St. Catharines, in our province, the larger province of Ontario, within Canada, and throughout the world. We're so grateful for the work that we're able to do and partner with you in this. I've asked one of our current volunteers, Lauren, to come, and she's going to participate in an interview with me to share a little bit of her experience. Lauren, please join me on stage here.
Hello, everybody.
Lauren, would you tell us a little bit about, first of all, tell us what got you, this question wasn't on here, but what got you started at the Benefit Shop? What made motivated you? And tell us what school you're at in St. Catharines as well.
So I go to Laura Secord, which is just on Niagara Street. And I was motivated to come to MCC because I am a thrift shop buyer. I love buying used clothes. They're so much fun. And I needed community service hours. So I got started early, and I decided to volunteer.
Wonderful. And you are wearing some thrift shop clothes this morning. You stood with that question as well. Very good. Thank you. Tell us how long you have volunteered at the shop and in what role.
Yeah, so I started when I was 13 and a half. I've been volunteering for 2.5 years now, and I have consistently been inside the toy department.
Right. Tell us a little bit about what you do in the toy department, and then as well, what's the craziest thing that toy or most interesting toy that you've
yeah,
found?
So inside the toy department, we get boxes of toys, we sort through them, we decide what is good for the store and what isn't. The most craziest thing I think I've seen was someone's entire collection of Winnie the Pooh merchandise. So for a couple of days straight, the only toys we were getting was Winnie the Pooh.
We get a lot of interesting things. And so our receivers are the ones, and you know, many of you will know John Himes, our receiving manager here. I forgot to ask our staff to stand. There's a number of our staff here this morning. John and Trudy and Ron are here this morning as well. Thank you. And Chris is here too. Hey. Hi, Chris. Way in the back. Yes, in our receiving department. Boy, that's the place where you get to see all kinds of exciting things. Chris and John can attest to that. And then it comes along to people like Lauren, who process and take care of those things. What do you, Lauren, tell us, what do you enjoy most about volunteering?
I think what I enjoy most is just the community and the atmosphere in the back room. While we're going through things, we're all free to talk. We always share jokes. We're constantly sharing stories. And we know a lot about each other, so it's one big family.
Great. One of the things that we do in our volunteer times to try to promote some community, there are volunteer shifts in the morning or afternoon. morning before our shop opens, we have about 15 minutes where we share together some interaction, a little bit of interaction, have some snacks and coffee. We call it our break fluid. And we also have the opportunity to learn a little bit what's going on at MCC. As well, in the afternoon, same thing. We take a break and gather together with volunteers and staff. And then also having the opportunity to develop social connections with others. Lauren, what would you say to another student who was considering applying to volunteer at the benefit shop?
Yeah, so if you're a student, I definitely say you should volunteer, because not only are you going to be volunteering with a wide range of different ages, you're also going to be able to get community service hours, and you get first dibs on what is inside the back room.
There you go. There's a little bit of a... Very good. Our volunteers get to see those things. That's right. One of the benefits of volunteering. What might you say to a retiree, somebody who is, now you're not at that place yet, but you know many of our retirees in our shop. What might you say to somebody who's considering volunteering?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to get out there, to do something inside the community, and it's also an amazing place to socialize. You know, instead of sitting at home, you could be out there talking to people, sharing stories about your grandkids and your children and everything.
It's a great place, and I often sold us short, as schools would call and ask, would you have a placement that you could have a co-op student come and spend their semester, 220 hours of service? And I would think, well, we're not really a technical place where they can learn the kinds of skills that might learn, you know, pushing buttons or whatever. However, one of our co-op students had come, and one of the things that he mentioned at the end of his co-op time, I asked, what was the most beneficial thing of you being here? And he said, I think I mostly learned how to talk to people older than me. He was going into community policing, is what he wanted to get into. And he needed to learn those skills of just interacting and the many benefits of interacting with older people who have a lot of experience. And I'm always encouraging that kind of interaction. Our seniors with our students is such a great place to be and a good place to be together. We do have a number of volunteer positions available, and there seems to be always a bit of a revolving door. Our, some volunteers come and are able to remain long-term. Some come for short terms, are not able to because of certain situations that are changing in their lives. Recently, we had a young lady who came, was a newcomer to Canada, learning English, and was excited about being part of our benefit shop experience and the volunteers and the social part of it, learning her English, and then she got a job. And that's often what happens. People who come in to volunteer with us are able to get work and move on to new opportunities. And that's part of what we see our ministry being around in St. Catharines here as well. So we're grateful. The volunteer positions available for students, for retirees, all the way up through retirees. And many of those positions, we have three different areas. One in the receiving area where donations are coming in. The second area in our production area, which is primarily working with other volunteers, processing, pricing, cleaning things. And then the final destination, the front retail space, where we have volunteers that are keeping that retail space looking well, and cashiers as well. So lots of opportunities. I've placed a number of application forms at the exit on the table where you came in. If you're interested in picking up a volunteer form, please do. It's an opportunity to volunteer or to apply online, and you can go to our website and see that as well. Thanks for letting me share this morning. Thank you, Lauren, for being here. No, we're excited definitely about the work, and thank you for your part in that as well.
Thank you, Lauren and Tim. And just to put a personal touch on that, my mother was born in the early 1920s, not quite 100 years ago, in the Ukraine. And for those of you who know the history there, Mennonite Central Committee got started by Mennonites in North America wanting to help the famine that was happening in Ukraine, in which hundreds of thousands of people died. And certainly among the Mennonite communities, a lot of devastation. And so as a young child, my mother knew of the effectiveness of Mennonite Central Committee ministry, and certainly for us as family has resulted in a how should I say, lifelong sense of sharing, of support, because of that life-saving ministry that happens through the various means of the committee. Invite Herb to come and share the scripture reading, and following that, Stephen Roy will share the message.
Hello. Might have to consider joining the benefit shop. There seem to be a lot of benefits to it. Yeah, so. Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from Luke 10, 25 to 37 inclusive. Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" Well, the expert in the law replied, "The man who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
It is delightful just to be here with you here in St. Catharines this morning. Has been said already, I'm Stephen Roy. I'm the Church and Community Relations Associate for MCC. I started with MCC back in the summer, so I'm getting my feet wet, finding more and more about MCC and churches like this one that support the work and ministry of MCC. So part of what I want to do today is simply say thank you. Tim's already done that to you in terms of your connection with the Christian Benefit Store. But I want to say thank you to you as a congregation for your ongoing support of the work of MCC. Pastor Randy's already connected his own family story to the work of MCC, and I'm sure that could be multiplied through the congregation. We each have our own reason to support this work. But I do want to say thank you to you as a church. You have contributed financially, materially. You've provided volunteer service. You've done so much. not only in the past number of months, but over many years. And I hope and pray that continues. And so a simple word of thanks and appreciation for your part in this ministry that we do together as groups of churches, as conferences, sharing God's love and compassion to all in the name of Christ, as we respond to human need and working for peace and justice. One of the questions that is helpful to ask these days is the question, why? Simon Sinek is a contemporary thought leader, and he's written a book called Start With Why. And his point is, rather than go to the what question, start with the why. And so as we apply that to the work of MCC, we might think about, why do we do what we do in the name of Christ? Why do we engage in the activities of relief, development, and peace? And I want to comment just for a few moments on the scriptures that were read together and presented to us this morning. It's a familiar story to many of us, I'm sure. This leader, this expert in the law, stands up and he asks Jesus a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now that is a fantastic question. And Jesus, being a good teacher, throws it back immediately into the lap of the person who asked the question. How do you read it? What is written in the law? Jesus says. And the expert, knowing his Old Testament Torah, he responds appropriately and he says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. On another occasion, someone asks Jesus, what is the most important commandment? And Jesus responds with these two verses taken from the Old Testament. Love God, love your neighbor. And then the text takes this interesting twist. The lawyer who asks the question, the expert, the text tells us he wants to justify himself. And he asks a follow-up question. Who is my neighbor? Love God, love your neighbor. Then this expert, with all his training, wants to know, who is my neighbor? I've been around lawyers often enough to know that lawyers are people of precision, and they want to understand completely the definition of words and phrases. Perhaps this lawyer has a sense of, if his responsibility is to love his neighbor, is he wanting to limit that responsibility in some way? Who is my neighbor? There's a strong tradition in the time of Jesus amongst Jews that their neighbors are fellow Jews. So when the Old Testament says, love your neighbor, it means love other Jews. But Jesus goes on and he tells this story. We call it the story of the Good Samaritan, of how a Jewish man is traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He is attacked by bandits. They strip him of his clothes, they beat him up, and they leave him half dead at the side of the road. It's just an awful, awful experience for this individual. And it's not a lonely road. There are travelers on it, and the first person who comes by is a priest, a religious official. He sees the man lying there. He crosses to the other side of the road, and he passes him by. And we're kind of scratching our heads and asking, what on earth is going on? Why does this religious person not meet the needs of someone who is clearly in distress and needs immediate help? A second person comes by, described as a Levite or a temple assistant. And he walks over to the man lying on the ground. He takes a look, and he too passes by. And I don't know about you, if I'm hearing this story read or described by Jesus, I want to immediately respond and say, what's going on here? Why are these two individuals so hard-hearted? Why don't they do something to help? But a third person comes along. This man is described in the story that Jesus tells as a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans are a group of people who live in the area of Palestine between Judea, where Jerusalem is, in the north of Galilee, where Jesus and his disciples come from. They are descendants of Jews of the northern kingdom of Israel from way back. And at the time of their capture and captivity, other peoples were brought in to populate the area. And so this group of people emerged, a mixed race, with their own understanding of the Old Testament law, their own system of worship. And relations between Samaritans and Jews were not very good. They despised each other. They hated each other. And so for Jesus to tell the story and introduce a character who is described as a Samaritan is an interesting twist. But this Samaritan has compassion on the man who is injured. He sees him, he tends to his wounds, he puts the man on his donkey, he takes him to an inn where he can take care of him, and the next day even arranges with the innkeeper to take care of the man's needs while he is away on his business. At the end of the story, Jesus asks another question. The original question that the expert in the law asked Jesus was, "Who is my neighbor?" But Jesus asks him a question, having told the story, "Which of the three would you say was a neighbor to the man attacked by bandits?" And the answer comes, "The one who showed him mercy." And there's a shift from trying to describe and define who my neighbor is to a focus on being a neighbor, being a person who responds to the needs of others, being a person who has compassion for the needs of others, a person who takes concrete action because of the needs of others, even action that demands considerable cost on the part of the one responding. This Samaritan journeyman extends his personal care, his time, his energy, his resources into helping the man who is injured. Defining a neighbor, I think, allows us to focus our love on a specific group who match our definition of being a neighbor. But if we have to have compassion and respond to a neighbor and to respond to somebody in need by being a loving neighbor, then there is no such limit to what we might do. And we act in a neighborly way because God commands us to love our neighbor. And we can be loving neighbors here in our city, in our province, and indeed around the world. And I suggest to you that this is at the heart of what MCC does, extending compassion and kindness to some of the most vulnerable people in the world by being loving neighbors, as Jesus commands us to. Well, let me take you on a little journey this morning. If we can go back a couple of slides to the picture of the lady standing in front of her house. MCC is being a loving neighbor, even in these days, in the country of Haiti. MCC's had a long history in this country, but you remember back at the end of the summer, in mid-August, there was a significant earthquake hit Haiti in the southwestern part of the country, killed over 2,000 people, it destroyed homes and buildings, it left 650,000 people in need of emergency management assistance. And the lady you see on the screen, her name is Presicone Roger. She's standing in front of a house that she shared with a number of other people, and this house was destroyed in the earthquake. But she was part of a humanitarian aid distribution by MCC Partner, the Association for the Reform and Development of Saint-Jean-de-Suz, that's the name of a municipality in southwestern Haiti, that took place 2 weeks after the earthquake on the 31st of August. And boxes of canned meat, relief kits were given out to a number of residents of this area, bringing joy and relief to people who were struggling to recover from the earthquake. And the supplies given out by MCC on that day were the first of any to reach this municipality. Paul Shelter Fast, MCC's health coordinator, was present for this distribution, and he shares of how one woman came to him and said, "Thank you for not forgetting us. Thank you for remembering us. We've felt very alone these last few days, waiting after the earthquake, hoping that someone would come, that someone would not forget us." And relief organizations like MCC struggled in the early days after the earthquake. The main road between the capital and the area that was devastated was impassable for many days. A significant tropical storm named Grace came 3 days after the earthquake, brought heavy rain and other destruction, but armed gangs also patrolled the road, taking hostages and preventing the travel, free travel of others. Gradually, police were able to exert a little more security, and so MCC representatives were able to travel to Saint-Jean-de-Suz a couple of days before the distribution of aid. And then on the day, supplies were flown in by aeroplane by Mission Aviation Fellowship. And the distribution happened, it unfolded smoothly because MCC's partner in that area was prepared and organized, and 50 families received aid. MCC acting as a loving neighbor to people whose lives were devastated by an earthquake. MCC is being a loving neighbor in Haiti. MCC is also being a loving neighbor in Bolivia. If we go to the next slide. This gentleman you see on the screen is community leader Severino Zarate Coque, and he's part of a project in Bolivia that's harvesting water. All over the world, farmers are telling MCC-supported projects how changes in rainfall and climate and the coming of severe weather is making it increasingly difficult to grow crops and provide food on a regular basis for their families. Interestingly, today, the United Nations Climate Conference begins a two-week session where world leaders will gather to debate and discuss further developments and further commitments towards reducing gas house emissions in terms of the crisis that we face as a planet in terms of our climate. In Bolivia, one of the answers is this project that MCC is involved in. Farmers can't control the weather, but when it does rain, they can take advantage of trying to harvest and securing the water that does fall. This project that I'm talking about has established pipelines and other aids in the mountains of Bolivia to capture rainfall to use for its use in domestic use and irrigation. But farmers are also being encouraged to plant trees and other vegetation higher up in the altitudes of the mountains, so that when it does rain, water is retained in the soil and groundwater, which can then feed springs and wells further down in the landscape. Four years ago now, I was in Bolivia. I was there with another organization. We were in Sucre, which is the old capital of Bolivia, but we traveled to another city called Potosi. And Potosi is in a very arid area of the country, high in the Andes, and like the farmer you see before you, the grass is green, it looks fertile, but the rains can be intermittent. And we, in Potosi, were in a very arid area. I can't imagine what it would be like to try to depend on a very low rainfall. But this project in Bolivia is helping farmers there harvest the water that does fall, harvest the rain that does fall, and capture it so that it can be used for irrigation to grow food and supply the local communities with a regular food source. MCC is being a loving neighbor in Bolivia. MCC is also being a loving neighbor in Ontario. Let's go to the next slide. One of the programs that MCC runs is a program called Circle of Friends. It supports individuals and families transitioning from homelessness and shelter living back into community. And each person who is in that transition is surrounded by a group of three or four people who will travel with them, encourage them, and support them as they make this transition. I want to tell you the story of Gwen. This Gwen Circle is not the one photographed here, but Gwen was a participant in the Circle of Friends program. She was looking at celebrating her birthday. She wanted to do that by purchasing her favorite meal, which was a chickpea curry dish. But she was having problems affording a night out. And with COVID restrictions, it meant that the circle in another time might have gone out and shared a meal together. They were unable to do that. And one circle member found that the curry dish was available at one of the supermarkets costing only $2. And so the idea emerged that each of the members of the circle would buy this dish, they would cook it and eat it, and then when they met together, they would share their experiences. And so they did that. And what could have been a lonely and isolating time for Gwen on her birthday turned out to be a shared adventure as the women in her circle agreed to try the dish and report back on their experiences. And they were able to join Gwen where she was, entering into her world of limited means and limited opportunity to walk along beside her, shining the light of friendship into her situation. MCC is being a loving neighbor in Ontario. Next slide. And you too can be a loving neighbor where you are. Many of you are already doing that, volunteering at the Christian Benefits Shop and maybe in other areas, serving the needs of your community. This is Bill Brubaker. He serves in the thrift store, Thrift on Kent in Kitchener. His job is to deal with the books that come in and sort them and get them out onto the retail shop floor. And as many of you know, there are different ways, various ways to connect with the ministry of MCC, from being a donor to being a person who puts relief kits together, buying supplies perhaps for school kits or other kits that MCC uses, being part of a sewing group that creates these beautiful blankets that are then sent around the world to different people who need them. But the question I want to leave with you this morning is, how can I be a loving neighbor to someone in need this week? Like the Samaritan, we may have to cross a boundary, going to help someone who is different from us, of a different social group, of a different ethnic group, of a different racial group, someone that we might not want to connect with in any other way. But God calls us to be loving neighbors to people in need by showing love and having compassion. I want to say thank you to all of you for allowing us to be here today representing MCC. The continued work of MCC is only possible because of the continued support of people like you. And so on behalf of MCC, I thank you. And lastly, MCC is being a loving neighbor in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Let's go to the next slide. These three students are part of a grade 3 class in the Democratic Republic of Congo. All were participants a couple of years ago in a program, an educational support program for displaced children. There are many in this country living in refugee camps who have escaped conflict and violence in other places. And MCC was able to help 950 displaced school-age children across access education through the partial payment of school fees and the provision of supplies, including uniforms, notebooks, and pencils. And if they could, I'm sure these three kids would just say thank you to all of you for your support of MCC. So thank you for having Tim and Laura and I with you today. Thank you that you've allowed us to be part of your service today. And my prayer is that God would continue to bless you, even as you bless others, in the name of Jesus, extending his love and compassion. Thank you.
Thank you.
you to Youth Band for leading us in music this morning. To Steve and Tim and Lauren for your sharing with us about the ministry and invitations for us to continue support and perhaps even our involvement with that. Just a reminder, with our COVID protocols, we will not be greeting you at the door, but recognizing our guests with us this morning, if you would like to have some further conversation with them, ask that you kind of hang around at the front here, and if you want to come forward to speak with them, please do that. Just a reminder, after the benediction, to be seated until the ushers give you instructions for leaving, helping us to depart safely. And as we've been doing, we begin at the back on this side, exiting to the outside aisles, following that then on this side. And so it does take us a little bit of time to exit out, but we do that to maintain our safety. And at this time, invite you to stand for our closing benediction. Gracious God, for what we have received from Jesus Christ, and we wish to share with others, as we go from this time of worship, may Christ as Lord continue to live in us, rooted and built up in him, that we may be strengthened in faith as we have been taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. In the name of Christ, go in peace. Amen. You may be seated.